have your program there, you'll find the Bible reading inside it. It's from the book of 2 Peter in chapter 1, and you can follow along there. This is God's word. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you know have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because that I will know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me.
Sorry.
But I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honour and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Dawn, for the privilege to be invited to speak here tonight. Congratulations to all the students who have graduated, and I am thankful to God for over 20 years of the gift that Trinity has been to Perth, and God willing will be so for many years to come. Well, there was a student who was studying for an exam, and there was too much material to remember, and so he thought, I'll summarise it into one page. So it was a big task, set to work, but did it, got it down to one page, and then thought, I can do better than this. I'm going to get this down to one paragraph. So summarised everything down to one paragraph, but wasn't happy, thought I can do better. One sentence. I'll get it down to one sentence, did it in one sentence, and then thought, you know what? I'm going to go for it. I'm going to summarise everything I've learned into one word. And he did it. And he went into his exam and he forgot the word. Now, we have a word, God's word. It's not a single word, but it is what God is saying to us recorded in the Bible. Now, I assume it's what you have just spent or are about to spend a number of years studying, and it will be essential to whatever ministry the Lord is going to have for you in the years to come. Now, if that's obvious to you, and I hope it is, then you need to hear what Peter says here in 2 Peter chapter 1, because it's particularly aimed at anyone who's well grounded in the faith. And so there's three things I want to say. The first thing that you need to hear is this. You need reminding. It's humbling to be told it, but you need reminding of God's word. And so do I. In the first 11 verses that we've skipped in 2 Peter 1, Peter had written of all that God had given them in Christ and of their hope of being welcomed into his eternal kingdom. And now he says in three different ways that his readers need reminding of all these things. I'll read from verse 12. "So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always remember." Sorry, you will always be able to remember these things. "I'll always remind you It is right to refresh your memory. You'll always be able to remember these things. You need reminding of God's word. And how will he remind them when he's gone? Scripture. The written word, including his letters, including Paul's letters, which in chapter 3 he will call Scripture, including the Old Testament, that's fulfilled by the apostles' teaching about Christ. See the start of verse 19, and we have the word of the prophets made more certain. The Bible is God's word written, and we need reminding of that word. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord? Do you think you will ever forget the gospel? I hope the answer's no. But I'm sure that that's exactly what Peter's first readers would have thought as well. See, verse 12 again. So I'll always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. We're no more spiritually mature than they were. We all need reminding. And this is not just about remembering facts, like studying for that exam. Remember here means to call it to mind so that you'll act accordingly. Back in verse 9, which I didn't read, but I'll read it now, Peter wrote, "But if anyone does not have them, they are nearsighted and blind and have forgotten that they've been cleansed from their past sins." The person who is not being changed by the gospel has stopped applying it to their lives. Such a person probably still remembers all the facts of the gospel, but that's all. They have forgotten to live by them. It's a little bit like me when I think about directions. See, I grew up on the East Coast, and if I needed to orient myself, I would think, where's the ocean? Okay, the ocean's in the east. And if I'm looking at the ocean, then if I turn left, that's north. If I turn right, that's south. Well, I've been in Perth for over 20 years, and I still have to check myself if I'm orienting myself or giving someone directions, because I think, well, the ocean's there. But if I turn left, that's south, not north. And I have to remind myself. It's not that I've forgotten I live in Perth, but I have to remind myself so I reorient myself based on what I know. Jesus is our Lord. Now, what we used to think was that we were Lord. Well, we know that's wrong. We know the facts. What we need to do is be constantly reminded of it so that we keep applying it. We keep orienting our lives according to it. God has caused the Bible to be written because you and I, all of us, need to hear and hear again and be reminded of it and have our memories refreshed of his word. So we need reminding. But that's okay, because secondly, it's a reliable word. The Bible is the one infallible, reliable source of God's truth. I'll read from verse 16. We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. God's word is not myth. It is not cleverly invented stories. If you could disprove the Bible historically, then honestly, let's all just go home. Peter says he was an eyewitness. He says in verse 19 that the Old Testament is made more certain in Jesus' coming. And see what we must understand. In verse 20, above all, you must understand that no prophecy came about by the prophet's own interpretation. But prophecy never had its origin in the will of humans, But people spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is important. The Bible is God's word. Yes, it's written by human authors and they were empowered by God's Spirit. They weren't secretaries copying down word for word what God dictated to them. They wrote through their own personalities, their own historical contexts. But what they wrote was God's word to us. And that's why it is 100% reliable in telling us about God, who he is, what he thinks of us, what he's done and how we're to respond to him. I had my birthday last month, and every year, without fail, my mum will ring me a few weeks before and say, what do you want for your birthday? She's my mum, she knows me, but every year she asks me, because she's learned by many years of missing the mark with presents, that the best way to find out, the most reliable way to find out what someone likes, is for them to tell you. We don't have to guess who God is or what his will is. He's told us. He's revealed himself in the flesh. And we meet him by faith in the word he's caused to be written. And that word is completely reliable. Now that is an enormous relief for any of you who are going into a word ministry. Because it means that you don't need to come up with something new or an angle that no one has ever thought of and heard before every time you speak. You have everything you need to say in one word. Now, by God's grace, I trust that you are firmly established in its truth. But just as you need reminding of it, your role is to remind God's people. Now, that's no excuse to do it without care or creativity, but it's God's word that's reliable. And so be confident. So we need reminding of this completely reliable word. And thirdly, we need to pay attention to it. Verse 19. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. God's word is like a light shining in a dark place. And literally that is in a squalid place, like a dungeon. Just imagine for a moment, you are in a totally blackened room. You hear water dripping. You hear the sounds of things scurrying across the floor. Everything you touch is kind of slimy and it moves. There's some unpleasant smells coming from different places around you. And then suddenly a light comes on and it shows you that in one corner it's dry and there's a chair and there's some food. Well, you're going to pay attention to that light. And that's what the Bible is like. But what's the dark place? What's the squalid place? It's this world. And the problem is, it doesn't look that bad. Now, sure, there are some horrible places in the world that you don't want to go to. But for most of us, that won't be our experience. Where we live, where we work, our homes, and the places that most of you, I assume, will end up serving God. Which is why we need reminding from God's word. Because our world is fallen. It is under the curse of Genesis 3. People around us who don't know Jesus are heading to an unthinkable eternity. God's word reminds me that they are lost, but that there is hope in the gospel. God's word reminds me that the TV shows, the movies I watch are at best, well, they say nothing about eternity, and at worst, they are deceptive. And it's God's word that keeps teaching me that all people are of equal value because we're all made in God's image. How do you look at the world? Do you look at your world any different to someone who doesn't know Jesus? The Bible is like a light shining in a dark room. It reveals things as they really are. It is God's reliable word. So pay attention to it. And I want to finish with two brief and I hope really obvious applications from this. as you pursue the opportunities that God has for you beyond college, or as you continue your studies in college, two things. One, read it. Read God's Word. Now, I know you've got a pile of books that you have to read and a pile of others that you really want to read, but only the Bible is God's infallible Word. So keep reading it. Find and guard the time that best works for you to read God's Word. If you're going to be in Word ministry, lead by example. If you're going to pay attention to God's Word, you have to read it. So read it, and secondly, apply it. Expect God to change you when you read it. Yes, no, the stories, you've read it before, you're familiar with it, but expect that as you read it, God will change you. None of us here knows the Lord completely. None of us here are spiritually or morally perfected. The way we grow in knowledge of the Lord to be more like the people that He has saved us to be is by engaging with Him in His Word. So read it, expecting to see yourself and the world more clearly. Read it expecting to know our Lord more personally. Be ready to realize that you've drifted in some way or other and you need to repent and come back. Read it looking forward to getting re-excited about our eternal hope in the gospel. Read it trusting that God will renew your boldness to live for Christ. And if you are a teacher of God's Word, don't just apply it to your hearers, apply it to yourself first. Read it and apply it. And we have the Word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart.